fitter, happier. A program about your health, for your health.
No parent likes seeing their kids get sick, and fortunately, there are some steps you can take to protect your kids from a number of life-threatening diseases. If you're a parent of a Year 8 student, or you have children aged 1 to 4 years, there are a couple of free vaccinations you won't want your kids to miss out on. Today we're talking about the vaccines against meningococcal and HPV that are being offered for free to West Australian children and young people. Joining me in the studio today is Pally Hodsworth. From the Department of Health I can never say this word, Pally.
Communicable Disease Control.
Thank you. Welcome to Fitter Happier. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. So maybe let's start off with talking HPV, human papillomavirus. Mm-hmm. What's that?
Right, so the human papillomavirus is a highly contagious, it's a very common virus. It affects up to around 80% of people who are sexually active at some point in their lives. Most infections actually self-resolve, which means they get better by themselves, and you may not even know that you've had an infection. But for some cases, around 10%, the infection persists and they can progress to cancer. In women or females, cervical cancer is the most common. And in males, it's anal, head and neck cancers.
So it's only sexually, is it like you can only get it from sexually transmitted?
That's correct. It's mainly transmitted through sexual contact. It's not through blood, but it's through sexual fluids that it's mainly transmitted.
Okay, so I feel like Year 8 is pretty young.
No, but the important thing to note about this vaccine is that it's actually designed to prevent initial HPV infection. And that's why it's best to be given before any sexual activity occurs.
Ah, okay. So we kind of, it's like a pre-workout.
Like a pre. Yeah, that's like a pre. But it's also another point I do have to make is that this vaccine doesn't protect against all sexually transmitted diseases. So you still have to have your safe sex practices. But that's right. So I think sometimes parents may think, why is my child, as you just said, they're quite young yet and no one's thinking about sex at this stage. And, giving them the sex vaccine, as sometimes it's coined. But really, it's before they get sexually active.
I'm kind of going to contradict myself a little bit here because I said, oh, that's young. But now that I think about it, it's probably actually really effective to start talking about it, when year eights, their hormones are going crazy, I'm assuming. So it's probably good to start educating them a little bit on sexual health.
It does. Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, at the start of the school year, we give out a pack to the parents through the child, through their school bag. And that includes a consent form, but it also includes a flyer about all the vaccines offered, including the HPV. And hopefully that gives the parents a bit of a opening of the door to have that conversation with the child about, sexually transmitted diseases and just sex in general.
And so the HPV vaccination is for men and women?
Correct. So it's for both men and women. Initially, it was offered to women, but a few years ago, it's been open to males as well through the school program. Because the virus affects both girls and boys, it's offered to both genders. And it also works best. The immunization works best when given at a younger age because the immune response is stronger. So that's another reason for giving it at that age point. And it's most effective, as I said, when received before sexual activity actually starts. Interestingly, Aboriginal women have a higher risk of getting cervical cancer. They have a risk around twice those of non-Aboriginal women of getting cervical cancer. So it's particularly important that Aboriginal girls receive the doses, both doses, for the best level of protection.
Okay. So both doses, two needles, that means two jabs?
Yes. It's good news, though. It used to be three, so we've come down one dose. And it's best to have a good six-month gap between the doses. So usually in schools, you'll get the first dose in term one, and then the school nurses will come back closer to the end of term three for your second dose.
Okay. So I guess that's actually kind of a good way to remember it, but for people who may not remember if their children have had one or both, is there somewhere they can go to check on that?
Most definitely. You can contact the Australian Immunisation Register. In Australia, we're very fortunate to have a national register, and you can all vaccines administered are recorded on there. So you can call them on 1-800-653-809, or you can also visit your own MyGov account through that app, and all your child's immunisation histories will be there. So you would be able to tell how many doses they've had and when.
So, you know, it's been in the news a little bit. Well, I feel like it's been in the news for a very long time. But some people may have concerns about vaccine safety. How can people kind of get at ease with learning about this particular vaccine for their children?
Most definitely. I mean, vaccines, just like any other medication, have side effects. So it's really important that before you get vaccinated, you're made aware of what to expect and what to do. More importantly, what to do with these side effects. So in vaccines, we have what we call common and expected side effects. And with Gardasil or the HPV vaccine, the common side effects you get is sore arms. This vaccine is given in your muscle in your upper arm, so you might get a bit of soreness, redness, and a bit of swelling where the injection went in. And that's quite common and expected. So what you want to do then is put a cold compress, have some Panadol if you develop a bit of a temperature. That's common and expected. Very rarely do severe allergic reactions happen, and they happen usually quite quickly, around 15 minutes in that window after receiving the vaccine. And the nurses on hand will be able to deal with that, but that is extremely rare. The Gardasil 9 vaccine, which is the one with the two doses, we've had this for the first time in 2018 in WA, in the school program. The side effects from that are no different to the previous Gardasil vaccine.
And it's exciting because it's only two instead of
three.
Well,
that's right. Exactly.
So the HPV vaccine right now for year 8, is that 12 years, 13 years
Correct.
Old?
Correct, exactly.
13 years old. But what about other people? Can they get it? You don't have to be 13 years old to get it?
Most definitely not. You can get the vaccine really at any age. You have different brands for different age groups, but you can get it throughout your lifespan essentially. And you raised a good point. I mean, the vaccines we're talking about currently, or the program, is offered through the school program that is specific for year 8, and it's a free vaccine. But you can get this vaccine privately. Just speak to your GP. There are other groups in the community, especially men who have sex with men, etc., those who are immunocompromised or have chronic medical conditions, who are also at risk of HPV. So they can get that vaccine privately.
Okay, and so we've learned a little bit more about HPV. Let's go on to something now, meningococcal. It's even kind of like a horrible word, isn't it?
It is. It's a long word, and there are many strains of this disease. So meningococcal is a bacterial disease, and it's a bacteria that some people in the community, up to around 20% of us, mainly adolescents, actually carry this bacteria naturally in the back of our throats and noses. It doesn't make us sick, it's just what we call carriage. So they actually carry it naturally. The disease is transmitted through respiratory droplets, which is actually quite common for a lot of vaccine preventable diseases. And meningococcal, particularly this bacteria, is spread through the exchange of respiratory secretions, mainly from the back of our throat and nose. So generally it does take quite a bit of prolonged close contact to spread. So that would be, for example, if you're living in the same house as someone who's infected, or prolonged intimate kissing with someone who is carrying the bacteria. So it's not as contagious as other microorganisms, for example, you know, organisms that cause the common cold or the flu. So you don't catch it through casual contact or by breathing in the air when someone with meningococcal disease has been. You need a lot closer contact.
So meningococcal, not like glandular fever, not necessarily a kissing disease. It's quite interesting, though, that you say that some people are carriers. And then does that mean that some people are more susceptible to it, or is it just kind of...
Yes, so it is. That's why when we first started the program in WA, we offered it to individuals who are aged between 15 and 19, so that adolescent group, because they carry it the most. But interestingly enough, because they carry it the most, but the group in our community that would suffer the most from the disease is kids under 5. They will get the most ill from it, which is the next group that we're offering the vaccine to at the moment.
So the vaccine is offered now free for children aged 1 to 4. And so that correct. And that's because they're the most likely to suffer from meningococcal.
Yeah, like I just said, you know, while adolescents have the highest rate of actually carrying the disease, it's children under 5 years who have the highest risk of developing meningococcal disease in our state. Last year, there was more than double the number of cases among children in this age group than any other 5 year age group who had the disease. So it's really important that parents get their children vaccinated with the meningococcal vaccine. And I just wanted to also mention that when I say meningococcal, I'm actually referring to the meningococcal ACWY vaccine. And those letters basically refer to the strains or the types of bacteria. So at the moment, children who were aged 12 months, they could get a meningococcal C vaccine, which is brilliant. And some parents may think, oh, my child's already had the meningococcal C vaccine, so they're done and dusted. But that's actually not the case. They do need to go back and get the ACWY because that covers three extra types that the C vaccine didn't cover.
You're listening to Fitter Happier right now on RTRFM with Georgia Kay and Paley Holdsworth from the Department of Health's Communicable Disease Control Team. Paley, how can parents get their kids immunised? We talked about HPV being through two injections. But what's the process for immunisation against meningococcal?
Yeah, so you can get the meningococcal ACWY vaccine at your normal health provider, so whether that's your Aboriginal Medical Service, your GP, if you go to a government immunisation clinic, you can get the vaccine at any of these providers.
Okay, cool. So what I've kind of taken out of today is that really important for children between the ages of 1 to 4 to get these meningococcal vaccines. But also HPV, I want to you know, if there's any parents listening, to stress that it's not to promote promiscuity. Thank you. You got me today. Thanks, Gal. But it's something that we should be talking about with our children. And, really important that we kind of help our children for their future, I guess.
Most definitely. I mean, as I spoke to you a bit off air, meningococcal is a very rare disease. It's a lottery you don't want to win, basically. It's very rare, but it's devastating. It can progress very, very quickly. So it's really important that while you have this opportunity for a free vaccine, do take us up. This free vaccine is available until the end of this year.
Thank you so much for being on Fitter Happier with us today. And if anybody would like any more information, they can head on over to healthywa.wa.gov.au and search immunisation or immunise.health.gov.au.